ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. And most likely in a virtual form hidden, most likely Varuni Devi Dasi is also online while she works at her office. So we're in the prayers offered by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna, chapter 14 of Krishna book. For instance, when a person mistakes a rope for a snake, he or she is filled with fear. But as soon as one understands that the rope is not a snake, he or she is liberated from fear. If one understands you, therefore, through your personal teachings, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, or through your pure devotees, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, and all other Vedic scriptures, if one realizes that you are the ultimate goal of understanding, he or she need no longer fear this material existence. So-called liberation and bondage have no meaning for a person who is already engaged in your devotional service. Just as a rope is not fearful to a person who knows that it is not a snake. A devotee knows that this material world belongs to you, and he or she therefore engages everything in your transcendental loving service. Thus, there is no bondage for such a person. So, we sang earlier when we started the program with our half hour of bhajans. Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. The first line of that song teaches us that how do you become fearless? You become fearless when your mind is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya advises us, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Please cleanse the mirror of your heart, the mirror of your mind. Please cleanse your consciousness by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We continue with Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. For a person who is already situated in the sun planet, there is no question of the appearance or disappearance of the sun in the name of day or night. It is also said that you, Krishna, are just like the sun, and that Maya is like darkness. When the sun is present, there is no question of darkness. So those who are always remain in your presence by engaging in your service, there is no question of bondage or liberation. They are already liberated. On the other hand, persons who falsely think themselves to be liberated without taking shelter of your lotus feet fall down because their intelligence is not pure. Now, what Lord Brahma said at the beginning of this paragraph is the same thing Lord Chaitanya teaches. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Krishna is just like the sun, and Maya is like the darkness. And if you look at the title of the Back to Godhead magazine, underneath where it says Back to Godhead, it'll say Godhead right? Godhead is sunlight and nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there cannot be nescience or darkness. Where there is sun, where there is the Krishna sun, there can be no darkness. Let us continue with Lord Brahma's prayers. If one therefore thinks that the Supersoul is something different from your personality, and thus searches out the Supersoul or the Supreme Brahman somewhere else, in the forest or in the caves of the Himalayas, his or her condition is very lamentable, because he just got finished saying that the way for liberation is devotional service. If you're engaged in devotional service, you're already liberated. You've already reached the Supersoul. And we sang in that same song, Bhajahure Mana, the final verse, Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Padasevana Dasyare Pujana Sakijana Atma Nivedana. So the nine processes, and you've heard me say millions of times, of all the nine processes in this age of Kali, the most important are hearing and chanting. So we must remember. So please always engage in hearing and chanting. Very good. Let us continue. Your teachings in the Bhagavad Gita are Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papibhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Shucha. One should give up all other processes of self-realization and simply surrender unto you, for that is complete. Because you are the supreme in every respect, those who are searching after the Brahman effulgence are also searching after you. And those who are searching after Supersoul realization are also searching after you. You also state in the Bhagavad Gita, Atava Bahunaitena Kingyatena Tavarjuna Vishtabhyam Idang Kritsnam Ikangshena Stito Jagat. You yourself, by your partial representation as the Supersoul, have entered into this material cosmic manifestation. You are present in everyone's heart, and there is no need to search out the Supersoul anywhere else. If someone does so, he or she is simply in ignorance. One who is transcendental to such a position understands that you are unlimited. You are both within and without. Therefore, your presence is everywhere. Instead of searching for the Supersoul anywhere else, a devotee only concentrates his or her mind on you within. Actually, one who is liberated from the material concept of life can search for you. Others cannot. The analogy of thinking the rope to be a snake is applicable only to those who are still in ignorance of you. Actually, when one mistakes a rope for a snake, the existence of the snake is only within one's mind. The existence of Maya, similarly, is only within the mind. Maya is nothing but ignorance of your personality. Now, me personally, I love this definition just given by Lord Brahma. Many times I give this when somebody asks me, what is Maya? I like to give this definition. There are many variant answers for the question, what is Maya? You can answer it in many different ways. This is perhaps my favorite. I'll repeat it. Actually, when one mistakes a rope for a snake, The existence of the snake is only within the mind. The existence of Maya, similarly, is only within the mind. Maya is nothing but ignorance of your personality. When one forgets your personality, that is the conditioned state of Maya. Therefore, one who is fixed upon you, both internally and externally, is not illusioned. And we see in Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatan Goswami, he says, what is the greatest or what is the most important regulative principle? Just as in the Bible, the Roman centurion asked Lord Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? So Lord Chaitanya pointed out, what is the mother of all regulative principles? He said, always remember Krishna and never forget him. That is the ultimate regulative principle. There it is. We have only one commandment. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Perhaps we will study that verse when we have our next Chaitanya Charitamrita class next Monday at 4 p.m. And now we will continue with the prayers of Lord Brahma. One who has attained the little result of devotional service can understand your glories. Even someone striving for Brahman realization or Paramatma realization cannot understand these features of your personality unless you bestow upon him or her the result of at least a slight bit of devotional service. As I'm reading this section today, it is astounding to me how much Lord Chaitanya's philosophy and statements that Lord Chaitanya makes are completely parallel to what Lord Brahma is praying to Krishna. Here, this point, that even if you strive for Brahman or Paramatma realization, unless you do some devotional service, unless there's some bhakti, you're not going to achieve any kind of success. And this is the same thing that Lord Chaitanya teaches, that those who are jnanis and yogis, the jnanis are looking for Brahman realization, and the yogis are looking for Paramatma realization. Lord Chaitanya points out that unless they are overcoated with bhakti, they'll not achieve perfection. One may be the spiritual master of many impersonalists, or one may go to the forest or to a mountain cave and meditate as a hermit for many, many years. But he or she cannot understand your glories without being favored by a slight degree of devotional service. Brahman realization or Paramatma realization are also not possible even after one searches for many, many years unless one is touched by the wonderful effect of devotional service. Therefore, my dear Lord, I pray that I may be so fortunate that in this life or in another life, wherever I may take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. So here we are coming upon the final portion of Lord Brahma's prayers. This final portion of the prayers is where Lord Brahma exhibits his humility to Lord Krishna. So this final paragraphs will be very much enriched with the feelings of Lord Chaitanya's third Shikshastakam prayer, Trinadapi Sunichena Turar Iva Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Therefore, my dear Lord, I pray that I may be so fortunate that in this life or in another life, wherever I may take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. Wherever I may be, I pray that I may be engaged in your devotional service. I do not even care what form of life I get in the future, because I can see that even in the form of cows and calves or cowherd boys, the devotees are so fortunate to be always engaged in your transcendental loving service and association. Therefore, I wish to be one of them instead of such an exalted person as I am now, for I am full of ignorance. So just see how Lord Brahma, the greatest living personality in the universe, the most intelligent man in the universe, just see how he is appealing to Krishna in utter humility. This is beautiful. The gopis and cows of Vrindavan are so fortunate that they have been able to supply their breast milk to you. Persons who are engaged in performing great sacrifices and offering many valuable goats in sacrifice cannot attain the perfection of understanding you. But simply by devotional service, these innocent village women and cows are all able to satisfy you with their milk. You have drunk their milk to satisfaction, yet you are never satisfied as much by those engaged in performing sacrifices. I am simply surprised, therefore, with the fortunate position of Maharaj Nanda and Mother Yashoda and the cowherd men and gopis, because you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, are existing here as their most intimate, lovable object. My dear Lord, no one can actually appreciate the good fortune of these residents of Vrindavan. We are all demigods, controlling deities of the various senses of living entities, and we are proud of enjoying such privileges. But actually, there is no comparison between our position and the position of these fortunate residents of Vrindavan, because they are actually relishing your presence and enjoying your association by dint of their sensory activities. We may be proud of being controllers of the senses, but here the residents of Vrindavan are so transcendental that they are not under our control. Actually, they are enjoying their senses through service to you. There, right there, that is the key to devotional service. That is the key to bhakti. Therefore, actually, they are enjoying their senses through service to you. If somebody can grasp that, if a person can appreciate that, then they can become a devotee, because that is the key. We see how Lord Chaitanya quotes a verse from Narada Muni's teachings. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. That with your senses, satisfy the master of the senses, Krishna Rishikesha or Rishika Isha. He is the master of the senses. So Rishikena Sevanam. With your senses, try to satisfy or try to serve the master of the senses, Krishna. But the amazing thing about devotional service or bhakti is that by trying to satisfy Krishna's senses instead of your own senses, automatically your senses are satisfied. That is the genius of devotional service. By not trying to satisfy your own senses, as what the karmis do, the yogis do, and the gyanis do. The gyanis, yogis, and karmis are all trying to satisfy their own senses. That's why Lord Chaitanya says they're all kami, they're all lusty, and therefore sakali ashanta, Lord Chaitanya teaches. They're all not peaceful. Why? Because they're trying to satisfy their own senses. But the bhakta, the devotee has no thought of satisfying his or her own senses. The devotee's thought is, how can I satisfy Krishna's senses? But the kicker is that once you have this philosophy, once you have this mentality, that I'm simply going to try to satisfy Krishna's senses, automatically your senses are satisfied. That is the key. Lord Brahma continues, I shall therefore consider myself fortunate to be given a chance to take birth in this land of Vrindavan in any of my future lives. My dear Lord, I am therefore not interested in either material opulences or liberation. I am most humbly praying at your lotus feet for you to please give me any sort of birth within this Vrindavan forest, so that I may be able to be favored by the dust of the feet of some of the devotees of Vrindavan. If I am given a chance to grow as a humble blade of grass in this land, that would be a glorious birth for me. This is perfect. This is what Lord Chaitanya is teaching. Trinadapi Sunichena. Here you see Brahma. Look what he's saying. If I am given the chance to grow as a humble blade of grass in this land, that would be a glorious birth for me. But if I am not so fortunate to take birth within the forest of Vrindavan, I beg to be allowed to take birth outside the immediate area of Vrindavan, so that when the devotees go out, they will walk all over me. Later, when we study the Krishna's message to the gopis, which was read to them by Uddhava, after Uddhava spent 2 months with the gopis, he says the similar prayer. He says exactly the same thing. I am just aspiring for a birth in which I will be smeared by the dust of the devotees' feet, because I can see that everyone here is simply full of Krishna consciousness. No one here knows anything but the lotus feet of Krishna or Mukunda, for which the Vedas themselves are searching. So here, this is what is Vrindavan. A few days ago, someone sent me an email and he wanted me to explain what is Vrindavan, and why did I say that Prabhupada said you cannot go to Vrindavan simply by purchasing a ticket. So this devotee wanted me to explain, which I did in an email. So this is the key. What is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is not simply some place in India on the map. This is Vrindavan. What does Lord Brahma say? Because I can see that everyone here is simply full of Krishna consciousness. No one here knows anything but the lotus feet of Krishna or Mukunda, for which the Vedas themselves are searching. That is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is that place where everyone knows nothing but Krishna. There's no Maya. That's Vrindavan. So therefore, any place can be Vrindavan where everyone in that place is simply thinking of Krishna. Prabhupada now says, it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Saravayar Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krid Vedavid Eva Chaham, that the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to find Krishna. And it is said in the Brahma Sanghita, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau, it is very difficult to find Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by systematic reading of the Vedic literature. But he is very easily available through the mercy of a pure devotee. The pure devotees of Vrindavan are fortunate because they can see Mukunda, Lord Krishna, all the time. This word, Mukunda, can be understood in two ways. Muk means liberation. Lord Krishna is understood in two ways, this word, Mukunda. Muk means liberation. Lord Krishna can give liberation and therefore transcendental bliss. The word also refers to his smiling face, which is just like the Kunda flower. Mukha means face. The Kunda flower is very beautiful and it appears to be smiling. Thus the comparison is made. The difference between the pure devotees of Vrindavan and devotees in other places is that the residents of Vrindavan have no other desire but to be associated with Krishna. Krishna, being very kind to his devotees, fulfills their desire. Because they always want Krishna's association, the Lord is always prepared to give it to them. The devotees of Vrindavan are also spontaneous lovers. So before we go on, one thing I want to point out. So this is what Maya does. Maya gets into our brain. Maya gets into our mind, our heart, and tells us, oh, you don't want Krishna. You want something else. You want Krishna's property. You want Krishna's energy. You want to imitate Krishna. That's Maya. Maya is always going to be there, tempting us, offering us, trying to divert us, distract us. This is a pure devotee. Like the residents of Vrindavan, they have no other desire but to be associated with Krishna. This is the meaning of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the last, second to the last two verses. The second last and the third last verse of chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita. How do you become peaceful? When you give up all desires. How do you give up all desires? Here it is. When you have no other desire but to be associated with Krishna. You cannot become completely desireless. We're not stone. Because we are spirit soul, because we're eternal persons, desire will always be there. So real desirelessness is achievable when you have no desire other than to be with Krishna. As long as we have some desire other than to be with Krishna, then we are a resident of the material world. But as soon as there's no other desire but to be with Krishna, that's it. You're a pure devotee. Let us continue. The devotees of Vrindavan are also spontaneous lovers. They are not required strictly to follow regulative principles because they are already naturally developed in transcendental love for Krishna. Regulative principles are required for persons who have not achieved such a position of spontaneous love. Brahma is also a devotee of the Lord, but he is an ordinary devotee, subject to following regulative principles. He prays to Krishna to give him the chance to take birth in Vrindavan so that he might be elevated to the platform of spontaneous love. And on this note, I would like to mention what Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion. Because sometimes there is confusion and sometimes there is a discussion that in order to achieve this spontaneous platform, you have to do this and that, and that you need a spontaneous guru. No. Rupa Goswami makes it very clear in Nectar of Devotion that by strictly following the orders of the spiritual master, by strictly following sadhana, or should I say, vaidhi bhakti, as was mentioned here, regulative principles, those regulative principles are found in the nectar of devotion and given by the spiritual master. When one strictly, enthusiastically follows all the regulative principles given by the spiritual master, then automatically one is elevated to the spontaneous platform. So that we should never forget. Simply by strictly following the rules and regulations as given to us by Srila Prabhupada and found in Nectar of Devotion and other books, then gradually, naturally, will be elevated to the spontaneous platform. Another example of the same principle is there in the Nectar of Instruction. If you read very carefully the Nectar of Instruction, you will see that Prabhupada says that if the disciple strictly follows the regulative principles, namely no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling, if one does this very, very enthusiastically, and does this in all sincerity, then, and finishes 16 rounds every day without fail. So you have to follow the four regulative principles, and every day finish your 16 rounds. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction that little by little, gradually, you are elevated to the platform of Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari means the topmost devotee, this spontaneous lover of Krishna. That's an Uttama Adhikari. So it's really simple. Strictly follow, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. And every day, complete the chanting of your 16 rounds as ordered by the spiritual master. Then gradually, step by step, you are elevated to the platform of Uttama Adhikari. So now we will continue this chapter. Lord Brahma is speaking. My Lord, sometimes I am puzzled as to how your Lordship will be able to repay in gratitude the devotional service of these residents of Vrindavan. Although I know that you are the supreme source of all benediction, I am puzzled to know how you will be able to repay all their service that you are receiving from the residents of Vrindavan. I think of how you are so kind, so magnanimous, that even Putana, who came to cheat you by dressing herself as a very affectionate mother, was awarded liberation and the actual post of mother. And other demons belonging to the same family, such as Agasura and Bakasura, were also favored with liberation and achieved you. Under the circumstances, I am puzzled. These residents of Vrindavan have given you everything, their bodies, their minds, their love, their homes, their possessions. Everything is being utilized for your purpose. So how will you be able to repay your debt to them? You have already given yourself to Putana. I surmise that you shall ever remain a debtor to the residents of Vrindavan, being unable to repay their loving service. My Lord, I can understand that the super excellent quality of the service rendered by the residents of Vrindavan is due to their spontaneously engaging all natural instincts in your loving service. It is said that attachment for material objects and home is due to illusion, which makes a living entity conditioned in the material world. But this is only the case for persons who are not Krishna conscious. In the case of the residents of Vrindavan, such obstructions as attachment to hearth and home are not existent, because their attachment has been directed unto you, and their homes have been converted into temples by your constant presence there, and because they have forgotten everything for your sake, there is no impediment. For a Krishna-conscious person, there is no such thing as impediments due to attachment for hearth and home, nor is there illusion. I can also understand that your appearance as a small cowherd boy, a child of the cowherd men, is not at all a material activity. You are so much obliged by their affection that you are here to inspire them with more loving service by your transcendental presence. That's another point. There is no end to love. By its very essence, love has to mean ever increasing. Love means no stop. Love means no end. Continuing, in Vrindavan, there is no distinction between material and spiritual because everything is dedicated to your loving service. My dear Lord, your Vrindavan pastimes are simply to inspire your devotees. If someone takes your Vrindavan pastimes to be material, he or she will be misled. My dear Lord Krishna, those who deride you, claiming that you have a material body like an ordinary man, are described in the Bhagavad Gita as demonic and less intelligent. Avajananti mang mudha manushin tanum ashritam parang bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. You are always transcendental. The non-devotees are cheated because they consider you to be a material creation. Actually, you have assumed this body which exactly resembles that of an ordinary cowherd boy, simply to increase the devotion and transcendental bliss of your devotees. My dear Lord, I have nothing to say about people who advertise that they have already realized God, or that by their realization they have themselves become God. But as far as I am concerned, I admit frankly that for me, it is not possible to realize you by my body, mind, or speech. What can I say about you, or how can I realize you by my senses? I cannot even think of you perfectly with my mind, which is the master of the senses. Your qualities, your activities, and your body cannot be conceived of by any person within this material world. Only by your mercy can one understand to some extent what you are. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Lord of all creation. Although I sometimes falsely think that I am the master of this universe, I may be the master of this universe, but there are innumerable universes, and there are also innumerable Brahmas who preside over these universes. But actually, you are the master of them all. As the super soul in everyone's heart, you know everything. Please, therefore, accept me as your surrendered servant. I hope that you will excuse me for committing the great offense of disturbing you in your pastimes with your friends and calves. Now, if you will kindly allow me, I will immediately leave so that you can enjoy your friends and calves without my presence. My dear Lord Krishna, your very name suggests that you are all attractive. The attraction of the sun and the moon are all due to you. By the attraction of the sun, You are beautifying the very existence of the Yadu dynasty. With the attraction of the moon, you are enhancing the potency of the land, the demigods, the Brahmins, the cows, and the oceans. Because of your supreme attraction, demons like Kamsa and others are to be annihilated. Therefore, it is my deliberate conclusion that you are the only worshipable deity within the creation. Accept my humble obeisances until the annihilation of this material world. As long as there is sunshine within this material world, kindly accept my humble obeisances. So one final point here. Lord Brahma says, it is my deliberate conclusion that you are the only worshipable deity within creation. So here would be a good argument, or you could say a good counter-argument, if somebody says this person is God or this demigod is God or we should worship this God or that God. We can simply say the most intelligent person in the universe, Lord Brahma, he says that there is no other worshipable deity except Krishna. So here would be a very good argument. So this is the end of Lord Brahma's prayers. So we have accomplished something very nice here. We have finished these prayers of Lord Brahma. In this way, Brahma, the master of this universe, after offering humble and respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and circumambulating him three times, was ready to return to his abode known as Brahmaloka. By his gesture, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave him permission to return. As soon as Brahma left, Lord Sri Krishna immediately returned to the bank of the Yamuna and rejoined his calves and cowherd boys, who were situated just as they had been on the very day they had vanished. Krishna had left his friends on the bank of the Yamuna while they were engaged in lunch, and although he returned exactly 1 year later, the cowherd boys thought that he had returned within a second. I hope one day some nice devotee makes a movie out of this pastime of Krishna and Brahma stealing the boys and calves. It would be a beautiful movie, but it would have to be done by devotees. I hope I live to see that beautiful movie. That is the way Krishna's different energies act. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sanivishto Mata Smritya Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Krishna himself is residing in everyone's heart, and he causes both remembrance and forgetfulness. All living entities are controlled by the supreme energy of the Lord, and sometimes they remember and sometimes they forget their constitutional position. Krishna's friends, being controlled in such a way, could not understand that for one whole year they were absent from the Yamuna's bank and were under the spell of Brahma's illusion. When Krishna appeared before the boys, they thought, Krishna has returned within a minute. They began to laugh, thinking that Krishna was not willing to leave their lunchtime company. They were very jubilant and invited him. Dear Krishna, dear friend, you have come back so quickly, all right. We have not as yet begun our lunch, not even taken one morsel of food. So please come and join us and let us eat together. So we remember at the beginning of this pastime that Krishna was sitting in the midst of all the hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys, and how Krishna was sitting in the middle, surrounded by all these cowherd boys. So Each cowherd boy was thinking that Krishna was looking at him alone. But Krishna was looking at him. So, here we see that the cowherd boys did not want to eat until Krishna came back. Remember, when the calves wandered off, Krishna told the cowherd boys, "No, you don't stop taking your lunch. I'll go and get the calves. We recall that's what happened at the beginning of the pastime. That it was in chapter 13. The calves wandered off. So Krishna then said, "I'll go get the calves." And that's how the whole pastime began. So the boys didn't want to eat without Krishna. So the cowherd boys love Krishna, and Krishna loves the cowherd boys. Krishna smiled and accepted their invitation, and he began to enjoy the lunchtime company of his friends. While eating, Krishna was thinking, "These boys believe that I have come back within a second, but they do not know that for the last year I have been involved with the mystic activities of Lord Brahma." After finishing their lunch, Krishna and his friends in calves began to return to their Brajabhumi homes. While passing, they enjoyed seeing the dead carcass of Agasura in the shape of a gigantic serpent. When Krishna returned home to Brajabhumi, he was seen by all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He was wearing a peacock feather in his helmet, which was also decorated with forest flowers. Krishna also was garlanded with flowers and painted with different colored minerals collected from the caves of Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is always famous for supplying natural red oxides, and Krishna and his friends painted their bodies with them. Each of them had a bugle made of buffalo horn and a stick and a flute, and each called his respective calves by their particular names. They were so proud of Krishna's wonderful activities. While entering the village, they all sang his glories. All the gopis in Vrindavan saw beautiful Krishna entering the village. The boys composed nice songs describing how they were saved from being swallowed by the great serpent and how the serpent was killed. Some described Krishna as the son of Yashoda and others as the son of Nanda Maharaj. "He is so wonderful that he has saved us from the clutches of the great serpent and killed him," they said. But little did they know that 1 year had passed since the killing of Agasura. So I'm going to stop my reading for today here, because we're about to enter another section. So we'll stop here. And before we do the questions and answers, we will do one short bhajan. And I will answer. I see we have some questions in the chat, so I'll tackle them after this short bhajan. So just stay with me for a few seconds. And I want to do a short bhajan, and then we will tackle questions. Okay? Here we go. Yes. I hope that you can sing along with me. I see today we have a very nice crowd of 24 devotees. So we're going to chant, and then we'll do questions and answers. Sing along if you will. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. J Radhe Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Channa Vallabha Girivarad Hari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivarad Hari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it looks like we have a question. And then we'll do the questions and answers from the chapter. So it looks like we have a question from Jagadambika Devi Dasri. The way for liberation is devotional service. So what is the difference between devotional service and pure devotional service? Regular devotional service is still mixed with some material motivation. Generally, there is still some desire for sense gratification or for some concept of becoming one or equal to the Supreme Lord or merging into the existence of the Supreme. So as long as there's still some fruitive desire, as long as there's some personal motivation, then it is not pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami has defined what is pure devotional service by saying anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama means the topmost pure devotional service. So that means, first of all, it is favorable to Krishna's senses. The devotee does not consider whether this particular service is favorable to his or her own senses. The term favorable means that this service is favorable to Krishna's senses. And then that service has to be devoid of any kind of material sense gratification or any kind of concept of becoming one with or equal to the Supreme Lord.